Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good. Hallelujah. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank God for everyone that's here. You can be seated. You that are watching by webcast, we thank God that you used your discernment today, looked at your situation, you kept yourself, your car, your resources safe. And that's what we want for all of us, to be safe on a day like today. And so we appreciate that. But I also appreciate those who ventured out. We're running an extreme skeleton staff today. And I thank God. I came out this morning. I came out early to throw down rock salt on some of the pavement out there and left the house. And I took the top of my suit, but not the bottom. It's just the way it is. Pastor Ike, he brought his family out yesterday. They slept all night at the church to make sure that they would be here. And so I appreciate those that ventured out. The purpose and the plan of God must go on no matter what happens. And I know in this church, there's a lot of churches closed this morning, and I don't fault them. Every pastor and every family has to make a decision for themselves, and I respect that. But we've not closed our Sunday services in 30 years, no matter what happens. There have been times I've preached with my coat on because I was burning in a fever. But the kingdom, it's got to move forward. And so, praise God, I appreciate you being out today. I'm going to share a message with you this morning entitled The Voice of the Shepherd. But before I do that, I want to remind you, please, we need your support today. You watching by webcast, we definitely need your support. We have a situation going on with our orphanage in Pakistan. The children there, their mattresses are just foam. They're made out of foam. They're not like our mattresses here. Our mattresses, they can last 10 or 20 years. Well, theirs is just foam, and they wear out fairly quickly. And so all of the children, 30 of them, they need new mattresses. And so each mattress costs $90. And so if you can help with that, buy a child a mattress, I would appreciate it. And I know that child would appreciate it. You know, when your cushions go flat, it's just no fun putting weight on them. And so if you could help us with that today, there's 30 mattresses. We need about $2,700 to make that happen. And, you know, the church, we have that money right now. We could just write a check and send it over there and buy all the mattresses. But I felt it's important that I give you an opportunity to show your heart to give to a young child that you will never meet, that you give to them only because they are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you're on the kiosk or you're on the webpage, you can just go to the donate button. There is a radio button there. It says Orphanage Mattresses, I believe. You can give there and buy a child a mattress, and we'll get that to them just as quickly as we collect the money. So we'll probably be doing it this week and maybe next week because of the storm, but give to that and show yourself your own heart in terms of charity. The book of John, chapter 10. Last week, I ministered a message entitled The Voice of the Shepherd. And today, I want to minister the second part of that same message entitled Following Behind the Shepherd. And both last week and this week, I came from chapter 10 of the book of John, verse 27, and I'll begin there this morning. John 10, 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And so I want to talk this morning about following after the voice that we hear. Let's pray. Father, we just come to you this morning thanking you for the opportunity to serve you, Lord, even in adverse situations when everything is not perfect. We thank you that you've given us hearts and you've given us strength, that we persevere, Lord, to continue to lift you up in worship, continue to seek your word. Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, we ask you to bless the offering today that we receive over the webcast here in the worship room, Lord, that you'd bless the families that support this ministry, that support the orphanage in Pakistan. And I ask you, Lord, that you would use my voice to speak to hearts, and that you give me grace to speak this morning. In Jesus' name I pray and I thank you. Amen and amen. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. There are several types of followers that we have, and I want to talk about four different types of followers, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one is there are some, and really it's the vast majority of the planet, that will never follow Jesus Christ. Their hearts will never be set to follow Jesus Christ. They have no interest in following Jesus Christ. Number two is those that they will follow Jesus Christ. They're not opposed to it, just not right now. It's just not the highest priority. Number three is there's those that will follow Jesus Christ, and they're not opposed to it, but they are determined to follow Jesus afar off. Not following hard after him, just maintaining distance so they can keep control of how much of the cross they have to endure. And then fourth, of course, there are those that follow hard after Jesus. You know, I consider the ice storm that we have now, and, you know, it's not pleasant. It wasn't pleasant driving in. It's not pleasant shoveling the snow off. It's not pleasant. But then my mind reeled back to Paul's ministry. He lived in adverse conditions constantly. Shipwreck, hunger, nakedness, cold. He went through it constantly. And so there are those that follow hard after Jesus, no matter what the obstacle is. So let's talk first about those that will never follow Jesus. We have an example of such in the book of Matthew, chapter 19. Matthew writes in verse 16, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So as we know, this is the rich young ruler. He finds that Jesus is there. He runs to Jesus, and he says, "Good master, what good thing must I do to have eternal life?" And as you read this entire scenario, you see that the young man, his focus is on what must I do? Not what I must believe, but what must I do? He had no doubt acquired his wealth, acquired his resources from performing well. But when it comes to Jesus, it's not by performance. It's not what we do primarily. It is what we believe. We do what we do because we believe what we believe. But as you go down to verse 20, I'm just going to skip down to verse 20. The young man said unto him, because Jesus told him, just keep the commandments. Just do, if you want to do something, keep the commandments. In verse 20, the young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Now, of course, we know he didn't keep the commandments from his youth up. He just thought he did. But Jesus said back to him, Jesus saith unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast. If you want to do something, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me. The term follow me, it means stay close behind me, stay right on my steps. Don't allow there to be a space between us and the Lord. When we're following hard on him, there's no gap in between us. And so Jesus tells them, if you would be perfect, sell what you have, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And when the young man heard that, he went away sorrowful. He went away. He turned around and he walked away from Jesus Christ. And he made the calculation, no doubt in his mind, my resources are worth this. And he's just asking me to give it all up to follow him. He in his mind said the two don't balance. And we find many times now people who will not follow Jesus Christ just don't understand the value of our Savior. You know, I believe it was God told Moses, he said, I am your exceeding great reward. Not the houses or the money or the cars or whatever resources we lust after. He said, I am your great reward. And the rich young ruler did not understand that. He calculated that the price was too high, and so he walked away from Jesus Christ. And the vast majority of the planet today fall into that scenario. The value they place on Jesus, and it's really sad and it's horrible that the majority across the nations of the world, they will live their entire life having never known the presence or the touch of God, depart from this life as a rejecter of the offer that Jesus gives, and then spend eternity in hell. That's for those who just simply will not follow Jesus Christ. You know, if you have your own destination already in your mind, you can't get to his destination. You have to let your destination go, because I can guarantee you he's going to take you where you would not have went yourself. And that's both in a good and a bad sense. You're going to go through things that you would not have gone through. You would have deviated in some way. But the Lord, he's got his destination, and we have our destination, and we have to let ours go so that we can walk in his. So the second type of followers, those that they don't mind, I'll follow the Lord Jesus Christ, but not right now. Just not right now. Have you ever witnessed to somebody and they said, yeah, I'm just not ready. I'm just not ready to make a decision. That's what they're saying, is that I'm not opposed to it, but just not right now. It's inconvenient right now. So we see this in Luke chapter 9, verse 59. It reads, verse 59, and he said unto the other, follow me. Jesus said to the other, follow me. But the other said to the Lord, suffer me first to bury my father. Suffer me first. The term first means that burying my father, that's the priority. Let me do that first, and then I'll do your thing, Jesus. And sometimes we just don't understand who he is. You know, there's nothing wrong with burying your father. That's culturally, that's a respectable thing, and you should do it. But when Jesus says, follow me, everything else is an inferior priority. Everything else falls to the wayside. He becomes the priority. And so this man was saying, let me first bury my father. He wasn't saying, I don't want to follow you. He was saying, just not right now. It's inconvenient for me to do it right now. Jesus saith unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And again, I emphasize here, that sounds hard. That sounds hard. The man said, hold on, I just got to bury my dad. And Jesus said, no, let the dead bury the dead. I told you to do this. But we have to get a hold of, first of all, I buried my own father. I did the sermon for my own father. Once they're dead, you can't help them no more. It's a done deal. Everything else is just our culture of what we do. And so when we put our culture over the call of the master to follow him, we find ourselves, you may not feel it right then, but down the road, you'll feel that that wasn't the right decision. He goes on to say, another said, also said, Lord, I will follow you. I want to, but let me first go bid them farewell. So here it's just plainly saying, Lord, I really want to go after you, but I got a higher priority. I need to say goodbye to my friends and family. And again, the thing is that when we're going to follow Jesus, he has to become the single focus in our life. He's got to be number one focus. There's nothing more important than him. Otherwise, we find ourselves, our priorities will always override the Lord. Everyone in this room, everyone watching by webcast, we all have priorities. And the discipline of Christianity is that we don't let our personal priorities override Jesus as the highest goal in our life. He always has to be number one. So he said, yeah, I will follow you, but, you know, you can listen to people's conversation whenever they put a but in there. That means they're probably not a sheep. They're probably a goat. But let me first go and bid them farewell, which are at my home. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is even fit for the kingdom of God. Now, that sounds like a hard saying. It means that if you have another priority, if something else distracts us from doing the will and the work of God, Jesus says here, looking back, that person's not fit for the kingdom of God. So that's the type of person that will, yeah, I'll follow you, but I won't follow, just not right now. Can I wait for a more convenient time? You know, it's interesting that when Judas covenanted with the Pharisees to sell Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, he didn't look for a way to betray Jesus. He looked for a way to conveniently betray Jesus. It wasn't just that he sold him. I'm looking for a time and a way that's easiest on me. And we can sometimes put our own priorities way, way too high. Of course, he was in the wrong from the beginning. So the third type of person then is the one that says, I want to follow Jesus Christ. And they do follow Jesus Christ. But they make sure they follow from afar off. They keep a distance in between so that not too much of their control is taken from their lives. So that they maintain, I need to have some control. And I'll just tell you, when Jesus got a hold of your life, you don't get no control. You become a bond slave. You do, it's always your will, but you give your will in alignment to his will. And when his will is that you move in this direction, you simply move in that direction. And that's just what that is. So you have those that follow after Jesus, but they follow afar off. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 57, we see an example of that. And it's our beloved Peter. And there can be no doubt that Peter loved Jesus Christ. You can't deny that. When they came to arrest Jesus, Peter was the first one to pick up arms saying, hey, this ain't happening. And he was ready to fight to the death. That was a show of his love for Jesus Christ. But sometimes we love Jesus Christ in a way that he doesn't need that kind of love. He does not need an emotional love. He needs a committed love. I can see we got husbands and wives here today, and I'm sure I'll get some head nods on this. I love my wife. I love her. But sometimes I don't like her. But there's another love that's underneath all of that, is that even though I don't like you right now, I'd lay down my life for you. I'd do whatever is necessary. And that's the kind of love that Jesus is looking for. If you don't have that kind of love, you can't go to the cross. You can't go through persecution. Whenever it becomes uncomfortable for the flesh, that human kind of love just burns off fast. Verse 57 of Matthew chapter 26 says, and they had laid hold on Jesus and led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed. He did follow. He was committed to seeing it to the end. But it says he followed afar off. And so you have to look at Peter's mindset. Why did he follow afar off? Because Jesus was being beaten. He was being spit upon. The beard was being plucked from his face. And if I get too close, I'm going to get that same treatment. But the Christian way is like this. We are hated. You can look at the situation in Minnesota, and you can see Christianity is hated, and we're getting ready to be pulled into the political world as an entity, not because we want to be in it, but those who hate us are going to come against us in persecution. And so just like Peter, we can't follow afar off just because we see persecution is coming. Listen, this is what I do for myself to keep myself sane. If my portion is to die for the gospel, then I want to do it 100%. I don't want to go kicking and screaming. If my portion, if God's call on my life is to die for the gospel, I hope it's not. I hope it's not. But if it is, I don't want to go kicking and screaming. You know, if you've ever read the Fox's Book of Martyrs, you read about men and women, and they're so dedicated to the purpose of God. They will put them on the stake and set them on fire. And instead of screams, you heard worship. come from the flames. And they actually, it wasn't like God came in and rescued them like the Hebrew boys. They died, burned to death on a stake, but they burned worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd rather go like that. I don't want to be afar off watching someone else who's dedicated and devoted. I don't want to be afar off. I want to be right there. I want to be on the front. And here's the thing about dedication. All of us think that we're dedicated. Everybody thinks they're dedicated. But you can only know how dedicated you are until you cross that line, and you can look back and say, well, I'm that dedicated, but you don't know how much space is still in front of you. And you have another trial, and you pass that trial, and you say, well, I'm that dedicated, but you still don't know how much. But when you begin to look at somebody else that has a strong dedication, now you have a reference. Now you have a gauge that, wow, man, I'm lacking. I'm not where I need to be. I remember when I first started working out in the gym, lifting weights, and I was very new to it. I didn't know what I was really doing. And I had a trainer, but anyway, we were doing what you call bent over rows. And you take a barbell and you do this and you just pull it up. And I'm being all diligent and I'm being all, you know, nice with it. And then I looked and I saw another person my size who didn't have a trainer. He got the same thing over there. He put on two or three times as much weight as I had, and he was just savage. He was just a monster with it, and I went, oh, that's what it's supposed to be. So sometimes when we see somebody else's dedication, we go, oh, that, I didn't know it was like that. And we're inspired to push out of ourselves and to close that gap from following afar off and get right up on the Lord. It's good. When you find someone who's dedicated, when you find someone who's walking close with the Lord, keep your eye on them, because there's so much that you can learn from that person, and they don't even know you're watching them. So it says, Peter followed afar off into the high priest's palace, and he went in, and he sat with the servants to see the end. So he's making sure he's maintaining that distance. You know, I think I could say without any contradiction, there's some distance in all of our walks. All of us have some distance. But once we realize, hey, I'm not as close as I need to be, we need to scrape and claw and push to try to get closer to Jesus Christ, as close as we can possibly get. So that was those that follow afar off. And then finally, there's some that'll follow hard after Jesus. And what I mean by that is that there's no obstacle that's too difficult. No hill too high, no valley too low. I'm going to follow after Jesus Christ right down to the very end. No matter what the cost is. And in reference to that, I'll take you to Luke chapter 5, verse 27. And this is when Levi was being first called, Levi being Matthew, was first called to the gospel. Matthew was a tax collector. He was in the process of collecting taxes, meaning he had a booth set up. There was no doubt a table there. He had people walk up and they pay taxes for their family. He takes the money bags, puts them under the table. And no doubt he had money under the table. He had money on the table, and he had a line of people coming to give him more money. That's the scenario. And Jesus walks up and doesn't give him an explanation, doesn't give him anything, just gives him the command, follow me. And unlike the rich young ruler that weighed what was on the table to the cost of following Jesus, the Bible says he just got up and just followed him. No promise, no nothing. Now, sometimes we don't think about this. This was what he had done, tax collecting a publican for some time. This is what he had done. He's got money on the table. But he's got bills to pay. He's got obligations. He's not just stacking up money in his home, but he walked away from all of it. He didn't say, oh, I need this much money to clear the rest of my bills. No, he left everything, and he just followed after Jesus Christ. And now he's an icon in the Word of God. He was sitting at receipt, meaning he was receiving the money for customs. Jesus said, follow him, and he left all. Notice that word, all. Now, be honest, if that was you, would you have just took a couple money bags just to make sure that I got a good transition? Listen, we're human beings. We would do that. Say, let me just get a few dollars because I'm going to have to get some food later on. We would, that's how we think. But the Bible says, Matthew, he left everything and he followed after Jesus Christ. So those are the four types of followers that we can discern from this passage. So what you and I then have to do is we have to make sure that our walk, how we're following him, is as close as we can possibly be. We have to look critically at ourselves. How is it that that person can do that and I can only do this? It's not competition, but it's a reference that you say, I'm not as dedicated, you know, we have to be honest. I'm not as dedicated to this person. And if it is so, I want to have that kind of dedication. And then you begin to slowly just crawl up on it, just little by little. But you never start way back here and you see someone dedicated. And you say, I want to be that dedicated. And supernaturally, you just arrive here. No, you got to traverse all that distance to try to make it to the place that that person is at. And wherever that person is at, you can go further than them, further than that. But you have to persevere to do so. So then finally, in my closing verse, I want to share with you John chapter 21, verse 18. Jesus is talking to Peter. And let me give you a backdrop on this. Peter had overheard Jesus talking to John. Peter had overheard Jesus talking to John. And Jesus had made the comment that Peter heard it as John would never die. But that's not what he said, but it was like John is never going to die. And so that's what we pick up here. Peter asked Jesus, well, what's going to happen to this guy? What's going to happen to John? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee where thou wouldest not. Now, that's kind of a difficult sentence to parse, but simply what he's saying is that when Peter was young in the Lord, which he was at that time, he said, you can go wherever you want to. You can gird yourself with whatever you want to. But when you become old, when you mature in Jesus Christ, you can no longer go wherever you want to. He constrains it. You can no longer wear whatever you want to. He puts constraints on it. And that's what he's telling Peter, that when you mature, the Holy Spirit is going to take more of a rule over your life. That's what maturity is. The Holy Spirit is going to take more control over your life. He goes on to say, and when he had spoken this, he said unto him, there it is, follow me. Now, this is after the resurrection. So Peter has watched Jesus Christ. We read it in the prior verse. He watched him go into judgment. He watched him beaten, spit upon, the beard plucked from his face. He watched him take 39 stripes on his back. Then he watched him nailed to a tree and crucified. And after he died, he saw a sword pierced up into his side. And Jesus raises from the dead and looks at Peter and says, come on, follow me. Well, that's a hard follow. After you've seen all that, that's not an easy follow. And the thing about following Jesus, there's no promise that it's easy. There's no promise that it's easy. Sometimes it's difficult, but always it's worth it. Whether it's easy or difficult, it's always worth it. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning around, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following. He's speaking of John, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that, seeing the disciple who Jesus loved, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to the Lord, and what shall this man do? And Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow me. Now get what happened. First, Jesus says to Peter, follow me. And he says, right now you can do what you want to, but as you mature and the Holy Ghost is going to take greater control over your life, Peter turns around and puts his focus on somebody else, on John, and said, well, what's going to happen to him? And Jesus said, don't worry about him. You worry about you. I told you, follow me. And that's for all of us today. We have the same commandment as the saints of old, is to follow Jesus Christ as closely as we possibly can. It's not always comfortable. There are times that adversity comes upon our lives and we simply don't want to follow him because it makes it harder on us, on the flesh. But those are the very times that you have an opportunity to advance. See, when everything's wonderful and there's no adversity, well, everybody's strong in the Lord. Man, everybody's a roaring lion at that point. But it's when adversity hits our lives that we begin to, I'll give it, everybody in here is strong until you put a 45-pound plate in their hands. And then when weight is on them, they go, oh, yeah, I'm strong, but I can only lift this so many times. And so for all of us, we have to realize that maintain that focus on Jesus Christ. And in these times of adversity, that's when you can really truly tell where you're at. How far will you go? How far will you go? As I said earlier, once you step over the line, you go, well, I can at least go that far. I know I've got that. But if you've never stepped over that line, you don't know whether you can go that far or not. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just thank you today for your goodness. We thank you for these precious saints that have come out, Lord, ventured out into the cold and the storm and the ice, Lord, to sit in your presence, to worship you, to continue the work of the kingdom. I ask you, Lord, that you would bless these saints. Lord, as they leave today, let your mercy and grace be upon them, that no accidents, no ill harm, nothing to them or their resources. Father, we ask you as well that you would help us, Lord, not to follow you afar off. We know that we're following you. We know that we're following you, but all of us have a distance between us. And we ask you, Lord, that you lay convictions upon us, that we'd come closer to you, Lord. Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name this morning, we thank you. Amen and amen. Sister Angela, would you please?
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Again, glad to see those here who were able to make it. And also thank you for those that have joined us online. We appreciate you worshiping and learning the word of God with us. Amen. Just a few announcements. Please, if you have not given, be obedient to the Lord and you're giving today. There's several ways to do that. And we definitely do need your support. Want to remind you that on Sunday, February 22nd, Brother Torrence Nash will be here to minister to us for both services. And then lastly, as Pastor Lincoln mentioned earlier, we are accepting donations, gift donations for the Pakistan Orphanage. They need 30 mattresses and the mattresses are $90 each. So again, be obedient to the Lord in your giving. You can give to mattresses or orphanages, mattresses on the kiosk, or write mattress on your envelopes if you choose to give that way. Just a quick prayer to dismiss us if you bow your heads with me. Lord, thank you so much for your love today. Thank you, Lord, for the message that you gave Pastor Lincoln to share with us. Lord, we just ask that you would help us, God, to humble ourselves under the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we can be obedient to your word, so that we're not just calling ourselves Christians, God, but we're truly following after you. We're following after your word and your will for our life. So, Lord, just give us the strength that we need to truly deny ourselves, take up our crosses daily, God, and follow you. That is my heart's desire tonight. And I believe everyone who's listening to the sound of my voice, that is their heart as well. So, God, just give us the strength to do that today and moving forward. And we also ask, Lord God, that you bless our offering and multiply it, Father, to meet the needs of this ministry. We love you and we ask, God, your hand of protection be over everyone, Lord, as we travel home and those that may be coming to the 11 o'clock service. Protect us on our way home and be with us throughout this winter storm. We ask it all in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. You are dismissed.